I'm joined on the phone right now by Joe Torres. He is Government Relations Manager for Free Press, and he's joining us just for 10 minutes or so to fill us in on the latest with the FCC today. Hello, Joe. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to update us. And since we only do have a few minutes, maybe you can just jump right in. What happened today at the FCC?
Yeah, so today the FCC actually voted to relax the newspaper cross-ownership ban in not only the top 20 markets, but pretty much every market in this country. And basically, it significantly relaxed the rules in a way in which the way it's going to work. Martin has always been proposing, Kevin Martin, the chairman of the FCC, has always been saying he just wants to have a modest tweak to the broadcast ownership rule, where he'll allow a newspaper to buy a television station in the top 20 market. That would be presumed to be in the public interest, and any attempt to buy of a newspaper to buy a TV station outside the top 20 market would be presumed not to be in the public interest. But what he's actually done, he's actually weakened the presumption for newspapers trying to buy a station outside the top 20 market, would make it very easy for them to meet a weakened standard in order to receive a waiver in order to purchase a TV station. But not only did he do that, the newspaper cross ownership ban has been on the books for more than 30 years. Right? And the newspaper cannot own a TV station in the same market. There's been only a few instances in which a newspaper has actually received a waiver, a permanent waiver, to actually own a TV station. And those are in times in which, like, the TV station is in, or the newspaper is a financial crisis, like it's going to go out of business. So it's very rare for that to happen. But since 1975, there have been over 40 in 40 markets. There's been over 40 newspapers and 40 newspapers that actually own a TV station, and they're in violation of the ownership rules. So what Martin did today, and he grandfathered all of them. He's grandfathered all of them, so all of them are now allowed to operate. And what's shocking about that is that over the past several weeks, Martin has been before the House and Senate Commerce Committees. He has written op-ed pieces. He has discussed his ownership rule at length, and he's never mentioned his intention to grandfather the number is 42 newspaper broadcast cross-ownership situations in 42 markets.
So are you saying that these were illegal mergers that happened, and they weren't legal, but now he's come in and said, okay, we're going to grant
them? Well, they were in violation of the rule, but they were operating under a temporary waiver. So, for instance...
He's basically given a permanent waiver, whereas before they had a temporary waiver to be violating the rules.
See, what was happening is that a broadcast license is up every 8 years, right? So what's been happening, like Tribune has been doing this, Tribune would go and buy a TV station, say, in the market. And then later on, they'll buy a newspaper and request a waiver. Now, the FCC allowed them to get a temporary waiver, but they would have to get rid of the newspaper or TV station when the license of that broadcast station is up for renewal, which is every 8 years. But companies like Tribune thought that they were going to be able to get the rules changed in time so they won't have to sell one of their properties. So this happened in different places throughout the country, where a company would buy a broadcast station first, then a newspaper second, and then hope to get the rule change. And they had 8 years to do it, because the license is every 8 years. And they finally got their wish. So the chairman actually changed the rule for them and grandfathered all these different markets where a company owned a television radio station, a newspaper and television station, and in some instances a newspaper and radio station.
So
he allowed them all. They're all being grandfathered in.
So what happened was actually what ended up happening with the new media ownership rules was worse than anything he had previously revealed in his op-eds and other, public.
Exactly, much worse. Even though he's not going to claim that, he's still going to say it was a modest change, but he is a much worse, much more drastic. And the worst part about it is that he's had plenty of opportunity to talk about it in congressional hearings to reveal his plan. And he just notified the other commissioners of his intention within the past 24 hours, like last night. So it's very, I mean, it shows you how the FCC works. It's a very, corrupt at times, you could say. It's very, there's an unbelievable lack of transparency at the FCC. And this is just, meanwhile, thousands of people have lined up and told them that consolidation, they don't want more consolidation. It's, in the Senate, there's a bill that passed out of the Commerce Committee. It's bipartisan with a number of Republicans on it telling Chairman Martin, do not move forward with, relaxing the rules. So, even Republicans in the Senate, like Trent Lott and Stevens and Olympia Snow and Collins, are against the newspaper cross-ownership ban being lifted, but he still went forward.
And this was passed by a 3-2 vote, yep, of the commissioners. Can you talk about who voted for it and who voted against?
The two Republicans on the FCC is made up of 5 commissioners. Whoever the administration is empowered is a 3-2 split. So whoever's in power, so it's a Republican White House, there's 3 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and all 3 Republicans voted for the rule, and the 2 Democrats dissented.
And Kevin Martin, my understanding is he's claiming that consumer groups approve of these new rules, and that this is a moderate compromise that is pretty minimal. It's only going to allow, according to him, one company to own both a daily newspaper and a low-rated broadcast TV station in only the 20 largest markets.
It shows you how he works. It's very untrue, that statement. Consumer groups do not approve of this. Last night, he asked a couple of consumer groups to come in, including my boss, Ben Scott, and asked, so I understand, yes, there are loop. He said, how do we tighten the waiver standards of the newspaper, newspaper cross-ownership? How do we tighten the standards so a company trying to buy a television station outside the top 20 market would have to meet a stricter standard in order for that to happen? So my boss and others said, this is proposed to him, like, these are the different things you can do to strengthen that. So if it goes back into a station that's failing, if a company is going to go out of business, or I believe it'd be one of them is like, if they're going to create a new station, they're going to create an actual news station, local news that in a station that didn't have local news, and that station was going out of business, stuff like that. I haven't read it over carefully, but it was proposals of which it would actually make it. There was a financial situation in which a company was going to go out of business, and it would actually increase the amount of local news. So what Kevin Martin did is basically, on top of his standards, his waiver standards, he added what the consumer groups suggested, and then called it victory. Said, "Hey, yeah, the consumer groups approve of me." He tried to co-opt what they told him, but it's still getting kind of tricky in the weeds a little bit. But we put in a public record prior to the vote what we actually told him we approved, what we agreed upon, and what we don't agree
upon. So he threw a crumb to folks, and then he claimed they were on board.
He threw a smoke screen.
See.
So your question is the question that, your question is a great question because you read what he said correctly, but it's just not true. But that stuff is going to get repeated in papers where it said consumer groups supported his, and it's just not true. And then how do you undo the damage when it's already been reported? And then it's, how do you undo that once it gets in the paper? And it's hard to undo that perception.
What if his claim that this is a moderate compromise and it's very minimal, it's only going to affect the 20 largest media markets, what do you say to that? And in answering that, talk about really clearly what the outcome of this will be in your view.
Well, the outcome for sure, it was not a modest proposal. It's never been a modest proposal. He keeps calling it that, but it wasn't. The outcome is that wherever you're listening to this station, wherever your market's at, no matter what size in this country, there's a good chance now that you're newspaper and the television station could be owned by the same company. So you're going to have a massive amount, we think, of consolidation in the local markets. So that's what you're going to see. So, you know, lots of people, they're concerned about the national concentration of the Fox News and the NBCs of the world. But, you know, most people still rely on local news is very important. That's why your station is probably important to your listeners. And so your local news is going to be controlled in the greater control, more control of a greater amount of your local news is going to be in the hands of a more consolidated company.
But if you're not in one of the 20 largest media markets, how will you be affected?
Because so there's a presumption that in the top 20 markets, allowing for cross ownership is in the public interest and is permitted. Outside the top 20 markets, it's presumed not to be in the public interest. But he lists these four criteria in which you can, if you meet, you can get a waiver. And that waiver, that standard, he created a new standard in order to get a waiver, and that standard is much weaker, it's much easier to meet. So, for instance, if you say, if you tell the FCC, I am going to produce more local news, that's one standard. If you commit to produce local news, that your newspaper and television station, the newsroom is going to be basically editorially independent of each other. You can just say, yes, I'm going to do that. They're going to be editorially independent. Another one is if your company is in financial trouble. But he doesn't define what financial trouble is. He's saying that newspapers need help. He's relaxing the rules because newspapers are in financial trouble, but the newspaper industry, its average profit margin is 17 to 20%. So if that's financial trouble, then it's a weak standard. You know, I mean, it is not a hurdle, a high hurdle for companies to say, all companies want to make more money. They're going to say, hey, we're not making enough money. We need help. We need relief. And they're going to be able to prove it much, much easier.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying is that he's saying that it's only in the 20 largest markets, in the 20 largest media markets. But what's really happened is that in this vote today, again, this 3-2 party line vote at the FCC to pass these new media ownership rules that Kevin Martin proposed, you're saying that in the 20 largest media markets, it's been opened up completely with no restriction for a daily newspaper to also own a low-rated broadcast TV station in one of those markets, but outside of those markets, in any market, really, and for any station, he not only had opened up those 20 largest media markets to it, but he has created a situation where the waiver standards have been weakened to the point where in any market, you could just apply for a waiver under these new loose and ambiguous standards, and it's a huge loophole that could affect the whole country. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. You said it perfectly. That was perfect. Yep.
And then you said that Kevin Martin had said that this was all because he's trying to help out the newspapers and they're in such a bad situation. And you're saying that that's ridiculous because they're not doing that badly. So what are his real motivations, do you think? And what do you think the real motivations behind the three Republicans who voted for this? What are the real reasons behind that, if you could speculate on that?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a great lobbying effort, you know, from the newspaper industry. You know, the media industries are very powerful in D.C. The newspaper industry is no exception. They've been lobbying this for a long time. And Kevin Martin, from the very beginning of his term as the FCC chairman, has made it clear that he thought this rule should be lifted. So he's been wanting to lift this rule all along. And, it received an incredible lobbying effort. Newspapers are, contrary to what people think, are very powerful. They're very powerful. Newspapers are very powerful institutions in markets across the country. And so, it's a great lobbying effort, great pressure. And so the Republicans on the FCC believe that it's an outdated rule that because of all the different platforms
now. The cross-ownership rule.
Cross-ownership rule is an outdated rule.
The ban on cross-ownership of a newspaper and a TV station, they think that's outdated.
Outdated because you can get your news now on the Internet, the iPod, on your BlackBerry. But we say to them, local news is still only produced by either the newspaper or television station. There's very few websites that actually produce local news. Those few websites that actually are like local-oriented websites all link to the news stories from a newspaper or television station. So the only folks producing local news is the newspaper television stations. Satellite television is not producing local news. Cable television rarely produces local news. Startup internet companies don't produce local news for the most part. Radio and television stations, radio broadcast and newspapers produce local news.
This decision seems to run counter to the fact that for many years now the FCC has been holding hearings and public interest analysis has been around localism and diversity, right? They've been kind of investigating that. This seems to run completely counter to that. How did that happen?
Well, we just think it was a charade, basically. It's just theater. The chairman can go around like he did today, and he's done so many times, to tell lawmakers, I've listened to the public. I've held these hearings. I travel around the country. I've listened to folks' concerns. And for lawmakers and journalists who don't follow this very closely and look at the details, because the devil's always in the details, it seems on its face like he's done all those things. But when you look into the details of it, so he goes and he has all these hearings, but yet in the middle of the night, he weakens these waiver rules, like you just mentioned, even more significantly. Oh, he grandfathers all these existing, cross ownership companies around the country without ever telling the public he intended to do this. He had plenty of opportunity to inform the public on what he was going to do, and he didn't do that. He just we hear about it for the first time when they're taking a vote on it. Now, that's not the way you run a democracy or a regulatory agency whose job is to regulate the very industries that are lobbying them to change the rules.
And isn't the FCC isn't one of their very basic mission to protect the public interest on the public's airwaves?
That's what they're mandated to do, required to do. But public interest groups like ours, far not often enough, let's just say, see that the commission totally fails to make sure their rules represent the public interest.
In light of that, is there anything, and this will be my final question because I know you have to go, but in light of the fact that, they're not acting in the public interest,
yeah.
Folks may argue the two Democrats who voted against this maybe were, but if they're not acting in the public interest and they're not listening because there's been all these hearings and people have spoken out about wanting local news, wanting diversity, wanting, localism and all that. And they've clearly completely turned their back on it, at least Kevin Martin and the three who voted in favor. So is there any point in people acting? Is there any point in doing anything if they're not going to listen? We've had all these hearings and people have gone, you said it's a charade. So what can people do? And if they do act, why should they feel encouraged that it's going to do anything?
That is a great question. That really is. Here's why. In 2003, Michael Powell tried to relax the former commissioner of the SEC, the previous to Martin, tried to relax all the ownership rules. He tried to relax he tried to allow networks to own more television stations. He was dramatically, he wanted to really get rid of most of these rules. In this proceeding here, it's a very bad rule that was passed here, very bad. But, he did not try to raise the radio ownership caps, nor did he try to raise the network, how many stations the network could own. And we think that's because the public has, because it's the political, the political pressure he's receiving now is great, but it'll be even, he would be that much more difficult for him to act on those other ones, on those other rules, because of the political pressure that Congress put on him in 2003, including Republicans. And he didn't touch those rules, and he could have, and he didn't. Clear Channel was trying so hard to for him to relax radio ownership caps in local markets and larger markets, and he didn't do that. So we can say that because of the outrage over the years expressed, particularly on radio, the community has really spoken out. The Clear Channels of the world had just destroyed radio, and so he didn't touch that. He touched the newspaper. You know, for us, the newspapers, cross ownership is very, very critical because newspapers in any given city produce more news than any other media outlet in that community. So the other thing he did today, and this is ironic, right? He hates cable. Martin hates the cable industry, right? And so he actually put a cap on the reach that cable operators have. So he put a 30% cap on them to say, hey, cable systems can only own, your cable company can only own as many systems in local communities and markets throughout the country where they reach a 30% cap. 30% of the audience around the country they reach. And he actually put regulations on cable today. He's deregulating the broadcast industry, newspaper the broadcast rules of traditional media, and he's regulating cable. He hates cable. He personally does not like cable.
Kevin Martin.
Kevin Martin, the chairman. Now, the two FCC Democrats voted with him on those cable rules, and the two Republicans voted against him. But it's been known forever that that Chairman Martin does not like cable. And so he does, this wasn't a surprise to anybody.
So what can people do if they want to speak out about this? Again, the Federal Communications Commission voting today to remove the longstanding newspaper broadcast cross-ownership ban that prohibits a local newspaper from owning a broadcast station in the same market. That was a 3-2 vote along party lines, and they did this in spite of enormous public pressure and warnings from Congress about it. Also, that's not all they voted to do. They also granted permanent waivers to, what you said, 42 companies across the country that have been in breach of the cross-ownership ban for years now. Yep. And also Kevin Martin and the three who voted in favor loosened up the waiver standards, meaning that this could affect not only the 20 top markets, but the entire nation. What can people do if they're concerned about that? Maybe a few ideas as we close here.
Yeah, for sure. First I'll say to go to our website, we have a couple of websites, but we have a campaign called Stop Big Media. So stopbigmedia.com, there are a bunch of actions you can take electronically where there's still in the Senate. The Senate has a bill that would prevent the FCC from implementing its rule. And so that passed out of the Senate Commerce Committee, and we're hoping to get a floor vote. There's more than 20 co-sponsors on that, which is really excellent, amount of co-sponsors, a lot of Republicans. There may be a House version of that bill coming soon, but for now there's the Senate version, and to go and tell your senator, and I think Barbara Boxer is on the bill, I'm not sure about Feinstein, but still, go and tell your senators to support the Media Ownership Act of 2007, which is sponsored by Senator Dorgan and Senator Lott, Trent Lott, and that's the bill, that's the vehicle in which we can stop the FCC from carrying out this rule.
The Media Ownership Act of 2007?
Right, yep.
And that's
go to our website, stopbigmedia.com, and it has an electronic tool in which you can email your senator and tell him to support the bill.
Okay. All right, well, thanks so much for joining me today,
Joe.
Thank
you so much. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that was Joe Torres, Government Relations Manager at FreePress.net. To get more information about this vote today, December 18th at the FCC, 3-2, along party lines to remove newspaper broadcast cross-ownership ban, and also to loosen the waiver standards so that even outside of the top 20 major markets, there will be media consolidation going on, even more than we've already seen. So the way to get involved again is freepress.net and stopbigmedia.com. And at the freepress.net site, there is a place you can click to demand that Congress overturn this FCC vote today. Joe had mentioned there's a Media Ownership Act of 2007 in the Senate that you can support, but you can also call on the Congress, and there's an action you can take at stopbigmedia.com. What you do is go to freepress.net, and right there on the homepage, one of the current features is to demand that Congress overturn the FCC's new rule. There's an open letter there, and already there's 8,482 signatures out of the 100,000, even though this just happened today. You can put your name on this open letter to Congress asking them to throw these new rules out. So again, the websites to check out are freepress.net and stopbigmedia.com. There's press releases there and actions that you can take to be involved in reversing this decision, which Free Press is arguing would result in a major, even more major media consolidation in this country. And just a quick comment that one of the concerns about this is that it's not the only concern, but one of the concerns is that racial and ethnic minorities make up 33% of the U.S. population and yet own only 7.7% of full power radio stations and 3.26% of television stations. And the fear is that this is going to make that situation even worse than it already is. And the FCC, again, is supposed to be, their mission is supposed to be to protect the public interest on the public airwaves and ensure diversity and that local, you know, what basically the public interest, what people have been calling for is more localism and more diversity. And they're going completely against that with this vote. So again, stopbigmedia.com and freepress.net to add your voice and to get involved. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org.